Warning, February 28, 1965. Tara approached Lowndes County through the school system. J.T. Haynes, a high school teacher, spread word from his white superiors that local Klansmen vowed to kill the traveling preacher if he set foot again in the local church. The preacher's offense? He sometimes mentioned the right to vote from his pulpit. To Haynes, this threat was basic education in a county of unspoiled beauty and feudal cruelty, where a nerve of violence ran beneath tranquil scenes of egret flocks resting among pastured Angus cattle. Across its vast 700 square miles, Lowndes County retained a filmy past of lynchings nearly unmatched, and Haynes, a teacher of practical agriculture, tried to harmonize his scientific college methods with the survival lore of students three or four generations removed from Africa. That hens would not lay eggs properly if their feet were cold. That corn grew only in the silence of the night, when trained country ears could hear it crackling up from the magic soil of Black Belt, Alabama. Lessons about the Klan arrived appropriately through the plain-spoken Huldah Coleman, who had run the county schools since 1939 when she inherited the office from her father, the school superintendent and former sheriff. After World War II, Haynes confided to Coleman that the U.S. Army mustered him out from Morocco with final instructions to go home and vote as a deserving veteran. Coleman explained that such notions did not apply to any colored man who valued his safety or needed his job in her classrooms. Haynes stayed on to teach in distinguished penury with his wife, Eurylee, daughter of an engineer from the Southern land-grant colleges, loyally fulfilling joint assignment to what their Tuskegee professors euphemistically called a problem county. Not for 20 years, until Martin Luther King stood up the Selma voting rights movement one county to the west, did Negroes even discuss the franchise. In the early weeks of 1965, there was furtive talk about whether Haynes' inquiry 2 decades before, or a similarly deflected effort by an age-blind preacher, qualified as the last attempt to register. No one remembered a ballot actually cast by any of the local Negroes, who comprised 80% of the 15,000 residents in Lowndes County. Despite ominous notices from Deacon Haynes on February 28, 1965, Reverend Lorenzo Harrison was keeping his fourth Sunday commitment at Mount Carmel Baptist when he and the parishioners heard the sound of truck engines roaring to a stop outside. Panic swept through the congregation and grew when investigating deacons announced that familiar Klansmen were deployed outside with shotguns and rifles. Harrison gripped the pulpit and stayed there. He lived 30 miles away in Selma, and he knew people in the ongoing nonviolent campaign there, but was not yet involved himself. Now he switched his message from, "How can we let this hope bypass us here?" to a plea for calm now that they have brought the cup to the Lord's doorstep. Haynes reported that some of the Klansmen were shouting that they'd get the out-of-county nigger preacher before sundown, whether the congregation surrendered him or not. Harrison kept urging the choir to sing for comfort above the chaos of tears and moans, with worshipers cringing in the pews or hunched near windows to listen for noises outside, some praying for deliverance and some for strength not to forsake their pastor even if the Klan burned the whole congregation alive. Parishioners cried out, asking whether the raiding party would lay siege or actually invade the sanctuary, and Harrison said he had been braced for phone threats, night riders, almost any persecution short of assault on a Sunday service. But now he understood the saying that bad surprises in Lowndes could outstrip your fears. Deacons recognized among the Klansmen a grocer who sometimes beat debtors in his store, a horseman who owned 10,000 acres and once shot a young sharecropper, Bud Rudolph, because he seemed too happy to be drafted out of the fields into the army, then with impunity had dumped Rudolph's body on his mother's porch. There was Tom Coleman, a highway employee and self-styled deputy who had in 1959 killed Richard Lee Jones in the recreation area of a prison work camp. Such names rattled old bones. Sheriff Jesse Coleman, father of Klansman Tom and school superintendent Huldah, had successfully defied the rare Alabama governor who called for state investigation in a notorious World War I lynching, of one Will Jones from a telegraph pole by an unmasked daytime crowd, by pronouncing the whole episode a matter of strictly local concern.